Hallelujah. He is worthy. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to take some time to worship Him. What we call what? Private worship. That means alone, all by yourself, at home. Hallelujah. Amen. He comes. Sometimes we don't feel like worshiping. How many in here sometimes you don't feel like getting out of bed? Maybe you don't feel like going to school. You ever had that, you know? You wanted to play hooky and, oh, I don't feel good. Mama made you go anyway, right? Because she knew you were playing games with her. Amen. Or maybe you had to make yourself go. Anybody ever not felt, maybe you didn't feel too bad. You're not really sick, but you didn't feel like going to work today. Or yesterday or last week. That's when it comes down to us making a decision to worship Him. Amen. And He comes. He says, well, you got to get out in the Spirit, brother. You are in the Spirit. Even sinners are spiritual people. They're going to live forever. We all have a spirit that's going to live somewhere forever. And if we're going to worship Him, His presence is going to come. His love will be more real to us than ever before. Now, that's just a little extra tonight, just for the sake of worship, but it's important. Did we come tonight to just sing some songs, or did we come to really worship from the heart? Are we pouring our heart out to God? Are we really loving Him? He said, love the Lord your God. What? With all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of our being, spirit, soul, even in our body. Because our body is His temple. The Bible says the Lord is for the body and the body for the Lord. That means we honor God with our physical body even. We make it sit down. We make it open our mouth, right? Say, Lord, I love you. And sometimes we don't always feel something physically. We don't always sense His presence filling the room. But because the Bible says He's worthy, we choose to worship Him. Hallelujah. Sometimes we say, I want to know the love of God. I want to know you, Lord. Do we want to know Him? We know what to do in this church. Amen. I taught a little bit on worship. I worship you, Lord. I glorify you. Sit in your rocker, in your easy chair. Put that lazy boy back, you know. Not too far. You don't want to go to sleep, but you know. And curl up in Jesus in Daddy's lap and let Him know you love Him. He's worthy. He paid a high price for you and I. Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. He knew what was set before Him. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured. That means it was painful. It hurt. Endurance. Sometimes we need to endure a little bit of hardship to enjoy the joy of the Lord. You know, we get a little bit, what was that one? Well, you know, we tend to complain. God doesn't, I mean, in the old covenant, when you look at it, one thing He did not like, He did not put up with them complaining. He didn't like it when they complained. I mean, He was there and He would talk to Moses. I'm going to wipe them out, Moses. And Moses would say, what? God, these are your people. You can't do that, God. What is everybody going to say? These are your people, Lord. No, don't wipe them out. And he would intercede for them. Give them another chance. And then they would go complaining again, and Moses would get mad. God, wipe them out. You know? And God would have to say, no, Moses. Now, Moses, these are my people. I'm believing in them. But you know, that generation still, after they were delivered out of Egypt, after they crossed the Red Sea, after they had day after day after day of miracle on the ground, 40 years walking with God, seeing the pillar of fire at night, seeing the cloud by day, even after all they saw, even after all those miracles. See, miracles does not necessarily produce faith. Faith produces miracles. Hallelujah. After all that, he still had that generation had to die off, except for Caleb, Joshua, and Moses. Well, he died, but he had to look over in the promised land because of his own fleshly way that got a hold of him, you know, and don't strike that rock twice. God had said, speak to it, don't strike it this time. It was already stricken once. And that represented the death and the striking that Jesus was going to endure. He said, only has to be. He's only been crucified once for all. Hallelujah. Now you and I, we get to talk to him. We can ask him anything we need. He's a good Savior. He's a good Father. Put some volume. There we go. Hallelujah. There she goes. She's got it. Thank you, sister. You're doing a great job. It's not anything she did. You know, I've seen some people. Makes me sad, you know. You got somebody volunteering. They're trying to keep everything working right. Then you'll hear them. We got a problem with the speaker. You know, I remember hearing one guy would tell me, you don't have that fixed yet, what's wrong? They're getting more nervous, you know. Instead of just letting God work, amen. Trusting. They know what they're doing. You know, they're trying to fix it. They're trying to find the problem. Anybody ever been there? You know, you don't need somebody yelling at you, do you? You know, standing over you. Mm-hmm. How many like that, you know? Amen. We're supposed to have a little patience. Amen. And long suffering. You know what that means? Long suffering. Anybody know what long suffering means? Huh? Yeah, to suffer long. That means it's not short. It takes a while. It's good for you. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And sometimes, you know, sometimes we suffer too long. We need to speak the truth in love. Amen. Amen. It's not that we don't, you know, Jesus also confronted the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious people. He didn't confront the people of the world. I don't know what I'm talking about tonight on all this, but praise the Lord. I guess we got a little gunpowder or something I swallowed. I don't know what I did. Bless God. Must have washed it down with that water. Hallelujah. It's all right to get a little mad at the devil. He's the troublemaker. It's not any person in your life that's troubling you. You know, the devil, they can only do to you what you allow. We got to decide. We're not going to let the devil win in our life anymore. That's it, Mr. Devil. You're done. I'm kicking you out. I'm not going to sit around and feel sorry for myself anymore. Because when I have a pity party, nobody comes. Except the devil. He'll sing you a song. Family, you know, I mean, you know, you hear him, he'd sing you a song, you know. You're no good because you listen to me. Ha, 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 ha. That's the devil's work. He'll sing you a tune and he'll show you all the pictures where you made all your mistakes. And that's where you need to say, I love you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your blood. Amen. Resist him. Well, if you have your Bible tonight, I want us to turn to the book of Ephesians. And I want to talk a little bit tonight, a little further. I've been talking a little bit about it, but I want to talk about authority. Authority of the believer. Everybody say, of the believer. That's me. I'm a believer. That means I have authority. Amen. And our authority is over the power. Maybe I better stay here. I was doing good. Hallelujah. Authority is revealed a lot here in Ephesians. We have some things that we'll see. And other books, of course. You know. But in Ephesians, it seems more than any other book, it shows where our authority lies and where we are and where we sit with Christ in that authority. Because as Alan was teaching, we're all part of a body, right? We're all part of a member, a many-faceted, multifaceted body. We need our right and our left leg, right? We need our liver, we need the heart, we need the kidneys. We can't do without, you know, how many want to do without your right eye or your left eye? Amen? No. We need it, don't we? Hallelujah. And it's just he's using it as an analogy to what we are. We are connected one to another in our local body and also the body of Christ at large. You know, we have a part of a larger body. Right now we're focusing here, but hallelujah. And this will be our main focus. We are a local church. But the day is going to come, hallelujah, praise God, it's going to be more than just St. Thomas, right? We've got Elgin County, that's going to get some more things, and from what God has said, regions round about, people will be coming, so we're going to have influence, not just here, but we've already had some influence into certain parts of the world, Brazil, and into some people that are connecting now. So who knows what God will do? Praise the Lord. He wants to go into every part of the world. Amen. So we'll start here in St. Thomas and see where God leads us. Hallelujah. Amen. How many are excited about that? Glory to God. You know, we got 40,000 there. If we had, you know, just 1% of 40,000 is 400. That's just 1%. You know. See, it kind of makes it a little more, you know, say, wow, we could be overflowing shortly. Amen. That's not a lot of people. Amen. And that's just St. Thomas. That doesn't count with, you know, I mean, London's just a few miles down the street, right? How many been to London? You know, it's just 20 or 30 minute ride, 20 minute ride, 25 maybe, depending on where you live. Not far. Now, I want us to look, first of all, Ephesians chapter 1. And here we have a couple of prayers in Ephesians. And these are Spirit-anointed prayers. Paul was praying them by the Spirit for the people of Ephesus, but they also apply to us today. Let's start in chapter 1, verse 16. 15, it says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. How many like that? a little more revelation in the knowledge of Him. Amen. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Hallelujah. Now, we talked a little bit about that, but we'll come right back here. 20 says, which He worked in Christ, this power, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, and put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Now Jesus here says He is the head. And the Bible says, but He was seated where? In heavenly places. At the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He's seated with Him at His right hand, heavenly place. Now, how many know when there is a king and he's seated, or someone is seated at the right hand of the king? Usually, what is that? That's their right hand man, they say. Or he's seated in a place of authority. Jesus was seated in that place, but how many know who is the body? Who's the body of Christ? That's you and I, isn't it? Hallelujah. That's me and you. He's there, but we're there. Why? Because we're part of the body. Jesus is the head, but we are the body. All right. Because He said, verse 22, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Wait a minute, are you part of the church? Jesus is the head over all things, but He gave certain things to the church. Hallelujah. All right. His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all, and you hath He made alive, chapter 2, who were dead in transgressions and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. It says, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now here we see, He said, yes, Jesus was the head. He seated Him at the right hand. But He said we were in Christ. We were raised up with Him. Yes, we were once in this world. How many were in this world? And you didn't know God at one time. Maybe you didn't do terrible sins, but you needed to be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you don't have to tell me what terrible sins you did. You just tell God and He'll forgive you. Amen. Isn't that good news? You don't have to come talk to me about your sin. Go directly to him yourself. Hallelujah. Besides, I don't want to know all the things you did. Hallelujah. Some of you were sinners a long time before you got saved. I don't want to know all the things you did. You know? And maybe you did something terrible after you got saved. Well, thank God for 1 John 1:9. Amen. Hallelujah. And maybe you didn't do something terrible in the natural, but maybe it was something in our heart. Amen. How many know we can? The Bible says if we look at our brother's sister, we can have a murderous thought within our heart, and we didn't even kill him. But how many people have ever seen somebody killed with words? Amen. Come on now. Or maybe it was just with your attitude and our thought toward them. Sometimes the things that are more dangerous are things of our heart more than the actions of our flesh. We get unforgiveness, so we have bitterness. We allow things to fester. We hold them in. Maybe we don't even talk about them, but we allow them to remain. When Jesus said, forgive, just like I forgive you, we're in Christ. We have the authority with him. He said, he is the head, but we are the body. If we're in him, we're seated with him, the Bible says, in heavenly places at the right hand of God, the place of authority. Amen. Even in the natural, you know, you hear about the right, well, this is my right hand, then what does that mean? They trust them with a certain amount of authority. God trusts us with authority because we are the body. We're the part of Jesus that's on the earth. We are the part where Satan is under our feet. That's where he is. We're seated, what? Far above. Far above what? What he said in the first chapter. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. Wow. You know, that sounds pretty, you know, I don't know all exactly what those are, but they sound pretty powerful, don't they? Oh, that's a principality. We think, oh, that's one of those rulers of the darkness. They work in darkness, but we are children and we are of the light, and we have been given something by God through that new birth that we receive when we stepped into the kingdom of God. Just like we received healing, just like you received blessing from heaven, just like you've received forgiveness of sin, you received authority the day that you received Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You had the right. You have been given that authority over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm us because we are seated somewhere. We are placed in Christ Jesus. You said, well, I don't feel like I'm seated. Take a seat. Amen. Realize that you're in him. You were raised with him. Now, when it's talking about here that we, you, verse chapter 2, verse, well, let's back up just a little bit. Where has he seated him? Okay, he said, verse 20 says this, which he worked in Christ. The same power, verse 19, I like that part too. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Do you realize that was probably the greatest display of God's power? When he raised Jesus from death unto life. Now there are all kinds of stories that they were trying to create even at the time of Jesus. They were trying to say, well, maybe he didn't really die. Maybe he wasn't quite dead. That was one of the quote-unquote theories of those that didn't want him to be dead. because they couldn't understand this resurrection thing. See, all these stories came about after he was raised. Now, we know he died, right? They knew he was dead. That's why they didn't even bother to break a bone, because it was already prophesied. Not a bone's going to be broken. His suffering was so great. The crucifixion was so awesome. Do you understand? It says in I think it's Matthew 27, 34, and they crucified him. And I was meditating on it, just thinking about that. When you think about crucifixion, this is the greatest power. He raised him from the dead, but he was crucified. Crucifixion was when they hung on that cross. Yes, he was beaten. Yes, he was made to be sin. God had to turn his back on him. He was going to die, not just physically, but spiritual death was entering into him. And he was afraid, I'm sure. Fear tried to take him. He's never been separated from his Father. It had to take full confidence, full understanding, and say, okay, Father, into your hands, I'm going to commit my spirit because I know where I'm going. And the Bible said he had to keep that before him, the joy set before him that you and I, that was the lives of every human on the face of this earth. He already paid the price. Sin is not the problem. Jesus paid the price. All is forgiven is really the message to the world. We've tried to condemn them. Oh, you're terrible, sir. You're going to hell. Jesus paid the price for you. Would you come to the Savior? That's really the message of the cross. And have we really told them? Yeah, we say God loves you, but do we really explain? Many already feel condemned. They already know they're a sinner. Most people, not everybody, but most of them, they know they need a Savior. I need some help. Something on the inside of me is telling me. Why do you think there's so many religions in the world? They're trying to find help. Well, if they can't find it in God, well, I can help myself. I'll become my own God. They're still looking for God, something greater than themselves. Something greater. People are still searching. Something within me has got to be there. Because I'm so empty and I need help. I'll try to fix myself. And we know it's futile and impossible. But they had it all through, it's all through the Bible. The Egyptians had their gods, didn't they? Trying to find the true and the living God. Well, maybe it's in nature. That's it. I'm a nature boy. You know, I'll just take some of the herb. Things will be all great. I'll be fine. It'll help me get my mind over somewhere. Yeah, get you over to the enemy's camp most of the time. But how many know God's bigger than that? You might just hear from him. Hallelujah. I got a friend of mine. He was high as a kite. And he got saved. God still can break through. It doesn't really matter. God's bigger. God's bigger than all of that. And he can still save to the uttermost. Amen. All of us were there. We were without God, without hope in this world. Picture of a person on the floor, in a fetal position, looking for hope. Just, could you cover me? Could you help me? Broken, bound in sin, in a death nature, not knowing that God made a way to know him. That's why we preach Jesus, so that all men may know. We don't want them. The price was paid. That's the saddest thing in the world. The price is paid, yet if they don't hear, they're going to spend an eternity in hell away from him. But that is the purpose. The crucifixion was such a torture. He said, your arms can stretch as much as 9 inches when they have them on that cross. Having to push yourself up off that bottom lamp now so I can get another breath, or so that I can exhale enough so I don't suffocate. Ultimately, it is a suffocation. Finally, you get so tired, you can't. How many know when you don't have breath, anybody ever been there, it's hard to breathe? Anybody? I've been there, you know, or you got the wind knocked out of you, you know what it's like. You know, really, it's kind of panicky. You really want to breathe. And so they do everything, of course, to breathe, just to have a little relief. And finally, they suffocate. The crucifixion was so great. I mean, it was a place where the best of God met the worst of man. And yet God said, I'm going to now raise you from physical death and from spiritual death, because he took our place, went to hell in our place, and suffered under the penalty of sin, and then preached, I am the way, to those who are in Abraham's bosom and brought captivity captive. Amen. Hallelujah. Those that believed in the coming Messiah, when he came, they came forth from the grave, and even many people saw some of them. Amen. How many think that's pretty cool? Amen. There were lots of sightings. Different people, they saw Jesus. He appeared to over 500 at one time. He was alive. It was not a lie. It was the truth. He had been raised from death to life. I mean, think about that. They sealed that stone. When they sealed that stone, that meant they knew he was dead. Boom. But just in case, we're going to give you some guards. Every 3 hours, they changed the guard just to make sure they didn't go to sleep, because they thought, well, maybe somebody will come and steal that body over these next 3 days. But they didn't steal the body, as we know. The great power of God, the same power that lives in you and I, when we came from death to life and were seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all the work of the devil, his power was finished. Jesus came to make a show of him open. Colossians 2:15. Let's go there for a minute. And we'll come right back here. Hallelujah. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 2:15 says this: having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He made a parade of the power of the devil. How many know there was the great earthquake that took place when Jesus was crucified? Do you remember? It got dark for about 3 hours. The sun's blotted out. The earth quakes. The veil of the temple is rent from the top to the bottom. Hallelujah. That means it probably had a little piece on the bottom. They knew it had to come from the top to the bottom, because some way they figured it out. They saw it happen. They knew the Holy of Holies is now open. We can walk in freely. Hallelujah. The way has been paved. Now there's resurrection power available to you and I. The same power that raised him from death to life lives in you, and we are seated with him and have all the authority that Jesus has at the right hand of the Father. That means the devil does not have the right to put anything upon us that God has freed us from through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Including, he can't take our authority away from us. But if we don't realize, it's one thing to know about it. It's another thing to walk in it. Amen? Just like our faith. We can know all about faith. You could even have some faith. But if we don't use the faith that we have, then it's not going to do us any good. And if we don't use our authority and tell him where to get off, it's not going to happen. But we have it. We need to realize we have it. We need to know we have it. That we know, that we know, that we know. That this same power that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of us because we were raised with him. We were seated with him. Far above. That means where's the devil? Far below. He does rule in darkness. If you go playing in darkness, then there's some things he might be able to get over on you because he deceived you. He's deceptive. That's one of his names. Deceive. The accuser, right? He accuses us. Not just before the Father, but sometimes right between your ears. How many ever had that movie play? Oh boy. He likes to bring reruns, doesn't he? Oh my goodness, he'll play that rerun. Remember when you talk back to your mother and every little thing that you ever did begins to play. Somehow he knows every little detail. How many know we can stop him? What's one of our weapons to stop his thoughts? Worship, amen? We did a little of that tonight. Sometimes it doesn't take very long at all because we're seated far above him. Hey, Mr. Devil, let me tell you something. I know who I serve. I serve the God that raised Jesus from the dead. Do you remember that? When he was raised from the dead, I got to look down, sorry, because he's way down there under me. He thinks he's over me, but he's not. See, he needs a lesson once in a while. He needs to be reminded. When everything's breaking down in the house, devil, you're moving out. Bless God, I'm calling on the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I was raised from death to life. Do you understand? Resurrection power lives in me. And I guarantee you, he's afraid of that power. Because it's not the power we have, but the authority. And authority is based on who's backing you up. And if you're seated with Jesus in heavenly places, at the right hand of the Father, guess who's backing you up? All of heaven. All of heaven is at your beck and call. Hallelujah. There's good news in the house. I think, I might just run on that. I found out something tonight. I'm seated. I'm far above the power of the enemy. I don't know about you, but that's shouting. It's good news. That means he can't just keep pulling the wool over my eyes. I've got power over him. I've got all of heaven back in me. I'm seated somewhere. Far above. All of his power. Glory to God in Jesus, the Son of the Father, whom I'm in. I've been adopted with, who I have an inheritance with. Glory to God. The news is getting a little better, isn't it? Hallelujah. I've got an inheritance with the Father because of the Son. I became a son too. I'm a daughter too. I'm a child of his too. I belong to somebody. Hallelujah. Whose I am and whom I serve, Paul said. Hallelujah. We've got to remember sometimes whose we are. We're a son of the living God.
We're a son of the Father who rose and brought our Savior from death to life, who is willing to go to the uttermost in our behalf and pay the legal price so that we might be seated with Him and serve with Him. And because we're in the body, and the body is on the earth, that means it's our job to bring the enforcement. And we have to remember, we're not coming from a defeated place. We're coming from a place where we already have the victory, where He has already been destroyed. He's already been paralyzed, one translation says. Jesus paralyzed Him. Stripped Him of His abilities. Does He have some power? He's got a little power. Yeah. Everybody says, well, the devil doesn't have any power. It's in a different realm than we are. You know, in the not so much the natural realm, but in the spiritual realm, He's got a little bit. But He's been he's so far stripped down that it just barely enough to blow His nose. Bless God. He's around. He can operate a little bit in darkness. And when He can deceive. Because He's what? The liar. The father of lies. The one that comes with only deception. But you're seated far above you in Christ. If we'll remember where we are, whose we are, whom we serve, who lives in us, what kind of power lives in us. We've been raised from death to life too, just like Jesus. My sin is no longer binding me. I have authority. Amen. Hallelujah. Sickness does not have to bind me anymore. I have authority. You have authority. We have authority. This city is not going to stay the same because we're understanding. We have authority and we belong to God above. We are on this earth and He is expecting us to release our authority in the earth and run that devil off and not give him any place. The Bible says not to give him what? A foothold. Don't even let him put his foot in that door. Devil, you think you want to do something? Go watch out there from over there, out there. You watch from somewhere else, far away. Because we're not going to have your work here. Amen. His lie would be, you can't build a church in St. Thomas. Wouldn't you? That would be his lie. Oh, these people don't want to come to church. They're looking for Jesus. They're looking for God. They're looking for the supernatural. And God's supernatural. He raised our Savior from the dead. There's resurrection power in Him. Hallelujah. And when we can recognize it, when we can say, yes, I have that. Yes, I'm seated. Yes, I'm a son. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm more than a conqueror. His power was stripped from Him. And I can stand a surety that all of heaven is going to back me when I speak in His name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand up tonight. I'm going to stop right there. Just for now. Hallelujah. Woo! I know it doesn't seem like a good subject, but it's important. We need to be reminded who we are. Where are we? With Him. Seated with Him. Raised with Him. Above all power of the enemy. How many know the devil's under our feet? Amen. Just stop a little. Amen. That's where he is, under our feet. Hallelujah. Let's give God glory. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your truth that we have been raised with you, Lord. That the same power that raised you from the dead dwells in us. And that, Father, when Jesus was seated, we were seated with him. Far above all the work of the enemy. And tonight I want to ask anybody Maybe you've had somebody playing with your mind. Maybe the enemy's trying to stop you. Maybe he's trying to deceive you tonight. God loves you. He's got a perfect plan for you. We can pray for you and run him off. If you want prayer tonight, come on down. We'll be glad to pray for you. Maybe your mind's been troubling you. Maybe you're saying, well, I've had difficulty with this or that. Well, the blood's enough. Authority is enough. Yeah, you can run him off, but maybe you feel you need some help tonight. We'll be glad to help you. So if you need any of those things, come on down to the front here, have a seat. We'll be glad to pray with you. We'll lead you in prayer, pray over you. We can get his power to stop against you. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your truth. We give you praise and honor and glory, Father, for all that you have done in us and for us, Father, in Jesus' mighty name.